Wow. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen and victorious Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. As with most holidays, Easter has a number of great Hollywood movies associated with it. Some of them portray the life of Jesus directly. The classic The Greatest Story Ever Told, for instance. Others, like Ben-Hur or The Robe, are centered on fictional characters whose lives are completely transformed by Christ's resurrection. And still others, like Fred Astaire's Easter Parade, simply have Easter and its traditions as the backdrop. Of all of the Easter films ever made, though, probably my favorite is Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I know what you are thinking. It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie, right? Well, it's definitely shown at Christmas time, and its classic climactic scene occurs at Christmas with the Bailey family all gathered around their tree. But did you know that director Frank Capra never thought of it as a Christmas movie and actually released it in January? More importantly, consider the plot. The main character, George Bailey, played by the unforgettable Jimmy Stewart, has worked his whole life to help others, but has been devastated by recent events to the point where he believes that his life is meaningless. At this point, an angel descends to encourage him, but George initially cannot believe the angel's message, which is perhaps understandable since that angel, Clarence, hasn't earned his wings yet. But even after the angel shows him how empty the world would have been without him, George still struggles. In fact, it's only in the final minutes of the film, when friends and neighbors gather to remind him of all the good work he has done, that George regains faith, both in himself and in the world. So much of that plot feels awfully close to the story St. Luke tells in today's gospel reading. After all, we begin with a group of women who have followed and supported Jesus throughout his ministry. Just days earlier, though, they were present while he was crucified, died, and was buried. Now, as they make a solemn march to the tomb to pay their last respects, they wonder if their efforts and even if their lives have been meaningless. When they reach the tomb, they discover it empty and are greeted by angels, but they are terrified and initially cannot believe the message. And that doubt doesn't stop with them. As we just heard, when the women do eventually share the angel's message of resurrection, their words are dismissed as an idle tale, that is, as utter nonsense. Again and again, in fact, the disciples struggle to believe that Jesus has been raised, even when he comes among them. And so what I find most similar between It's a Wonderful Life and St. Luke's Easter story is that both witness to just how much easier it is for us to believe bad news rather than good. Have you ever noticed that? Some say that's why our news feeds and social media outlets are chock full of things that are negative, even alarming. I mean, it's called doom scrolling for a reason. And that old adage, if it bleeds, it leads, has never been truer. Numerous scientific studies have actually confirmed this bad news bias. Again and again, research indicates that we are more likely to pay attention to bad news, more likely to trust reports of bad news, and more likely to share bad news with others than good. Some scientists have suggested that as a species, we are evolutionarily hardwired to pay greater attention to threats than opportunities. Think about it. While missing an opportunity is kind of a bummer, missing a threat just might spell an immediate end to you and all your potential descendants. Which is maybe why we shouldn't be surprised that no one among Jesus' closest friends and disciples initially believed that he's actually been raised from the dead. His death, they could accept. People die every day. But resurrection? Well, that news wasn't just good, but rather falls into the category of too good to be true. So good, in fact, that to believe it and be wrong risked being devastated all over again. And so they do not believe. except eventually they do. And there is one small but significant scene in St. Luke's story that appears in none of the other Gospels that helped me understand why. St. Luke writes, "Two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them, and the women were terrified. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest." Remember how he told you, the angels say. And then the women remembered his words, believed, and told others the good news. I find it so revealing that the women could only believe the good news of Easter when the angels reminded them of Jesus' promise. That's how it plays out across the rest of Luke's story as well. Yes, the disciples initially dismiss the report of the women and at first don't believe the good news, even when Jesus himself delivers it. But eventually, after having been reminded again and again that God's love is more powerful than hate, that God's life is more powerful than death, they come to faith. They believe, and they go on to share this message of new life and healing with the whole world. And 2,000 years later, this message still brings us hope. So here's the thing. There is more than enough bad news to go around just now. Whether on the personal level, it's the specter of illness or the hardship of losing a loved one, or on the global level, it's uncertainty about the future or conflicts abroad, so much of what we see, experience, and share feels unrelentingly bad at times, which means that if you have a hard time looking ahead with confidence, or if you're struggling to find a sense of hope or purpose, that is pretty understandable. But it also means that, perhaps more than anything else, what you need right now is a reminder. A reminder that Jesus rose from the dead. A reminder that the future, including your future, is in God's good hands. A reminder that death and illness and loss do not have the last words. A reminder that you have worth and value in God's eyes. And a reminder that God loves you and has promised to hold on to you no matter what. In fact, I kind of think that is the fundamental, primary reason why we gather together as church. Yes, we reach out to our community with meals and help and more. Yes, we educate our kids in Sunday school and at camp and visit each other in the hospital and at homes. Certainly, we're blessed with fabulous music and worship, but maybe, just maybe, all of it, at its core and at its best, serves as a reminder that God loves us, is with us, and will never, ever let us go. Maybe everything we do here ultimately reminds us that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and makes all things new. I find it really interesting that while Luke names the angel in the Christmas story as Gabriel, the two who greet the women on that first Easter morning are anonymous. Maybe Luke is trying to encourage us to imagine that we are called to play that part, reminding each other of the good news. Turns out that the dazzling robes and thundering voices and even the wings we normally associate with angels are totally optional. Day in and day out, it's enough just to be willing to remind each other of the life-giving power of God's love. So let me close with this. I am so, so glad that you are here this morning to hear this good news. And I'm also glad to invite you to come here again and soon, Because the world around us will always be dark, always be filled with challenges of all shapes and sizes, and we will routinely find it easier to believe bad news over good and thereby risk losing hope. But each time we come together here, we get to remind each other not to look for the living among the dead, but rather to turn our eyes upon Jesus, the one who conquered death and promises to walk with us always, even and especially at the darkest of times. For Christ is risen. And so we have the promise of life that is not just wonderful, but also abundant and eternal, and starts right now. Thanks be to God. Amen. And blessed Easter.